Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on famine coming to America right after this. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton, a very prominent journalist in New York City back in the 1880s, said this. He said, there's no such thing at this date of world history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with. And others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write an honest opinion would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Unquote. Now that's quite a statement. These rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program in this New World Order. They are the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys, the Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this New World Order, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send your email request for that free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Famine in the United States of America? It's preposterous, you say. I agree. When we Americans talk about famine, we don't talk about famine in the United States. We talk about famine relief in Ethiopia, Chad, and Niger. What are we Americans going to do with our grand and great surpluses that we can distribute free of charge to those underdeveloped third world nations over in Africa or Asia that are suffering from drought, locusts, or some other natural calamity, or war, or something else? The concept of having a famine in the United States of America is preposterous on its face. Let's face it, Americans eat so well that 27% of us are overweight or obese. We don't have a food problem in America, but it's coming. And in the Bible, the word famine appears quite often. In fact, it appears 101 times. It appears in four forms: famine, singular, famines, plural, famish, and famished. 101 times. And we're all pretty familiar with the story of Joseph and the 7-year famine in Egypt. You know, we heard about that in Sunday school, if you'll remember. And then when we look at Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, those two penal clause chapters, we see not only famine, but cannibalism. Now, I don't know who these people are that are going to be reduced to cannibalism, but I think we ought to find out, don't you? It's mentioned in Isaiah 2 times, Jeremiah 30 times, and Ezekiel 13 times. Ezekiel 5 and 6 and Revelation 18:8 have something to say about this thing of famine. And this guy that talks about famine in the Bible, we call him God, you know, normal people just refer to God, or maybe nature, or some other term maybe. But in the Bible, there's a guy by the name of God that we normally refer to as the first cause, the creator. And it's been my contention for a long time that this is not the guy you want to be giving the finger to. Because he goes ballistic every now and again. He went ballistic at Sodom and Gomorrah and killed everybody there. He went ballistic at the time of Noah. Remember the story of Noah and Noah's Ark? Killed everybody in the world. And remember the Egyptians when they were pursuing after Moses and the Israelites? And the Red Sea opened up. Actually, it was the Gulf of Aqaba, but you know the story goes. The Red Sea opened up. Moses went through with the Israelites, and the Egyptians followed after him. And God closed up the Red Sea and killed all the Egyptians. Now, that's why I contend that this isn't the guy that we ought to be giving the finger to. And yet, over the past 100 years, we Americans have not only been giving the finger to our God, we ridicule and impugn him, and our 330,000 preachers call him a liar. That's right. We have 330,000 preachers in this country, and not every one of them. There's 10 or 15. 10 or 15 preachers here in the United States of America that actually believe God meant what he said and said what he meant. The other 329,985, they all believe that he's a liar. He didn't mean what he said at all. The Bible is scientifically inaccurate, and that it was written by a bunch of nomads with long hair and stringy beards wandering around in the deserts that didn't know their heinies from a hot rock. And that's what they teach us every week in Sunday school and church. Now, that's the story that I got. I don't know about you, but that was my experience from the from churchianity. Now, with that little bit behind us over here, let's take a look at the secular side, food, land, population of the U.S. economy. And we'll talk about this thing of famine in the United States and the public policy of the United States that ensures that famine is coming to our shores in the same way that oil shortages, a famine of oil, has come to our shores. So before I get started on food, land, and population, let me give you an analogy here. We developed an oil policy in the 1920s and 30s that we followed until we hit peak oil in this country about 1973. Now, that policy had a side effect. It had an ultimate end. Now, it's not that there's any shortage of oil here in the United States. We Americans have been blessed with more oil than any other region, location, or country in the world. Now, you're going to sit there and say, well, my God, Gordon, you've lost your mind. No. Listen, I want to tell you a little story here. In the International Forecaster, Montana's governor, this is this week's International Forecaster, Montana's governor wants to solve America's rising energy costs using a technology discovered in Germany 80 years ago that converts coal into gasoline, diesel, and aviation fuel. And he says Montana can produce gasoline at $1 a gallon. Dollar a gallon. Cost per barrel is $32. Montana has 120 billion tons of coal and could supply the entire country with aviation gas and diesel fuel for 40 years without creating any environmental damage. A 22,000 barrel a day plant would cost about $1.5 billion. This is an eye-opener. Let's see what George and the neocons do now. Actually, Montana is not the place where you want to do this. You want to do this in Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming. You see, that's where the coal lies. It's in the Powder River Basin and in the oil shale of the Rocky Mountains. We have in this country 3.6 trillion barrels of oil in the oil sands. We have a 660-year supply of coal at today's consumption rates that can be converted into aviation fuel, diesel, and gasoline. The Germans discovered how to do that back in the 1920s. They used it effectively in World War II. They were cut off from petroleum. We're not going to do that. We haven't done that. Our oil policy was liquid oil petroleum, and we would use it until we run out, and then we would go overseas and import the difference. Now, one-third of our balance of payments deficit comes from the importation of oil. We now get 58% of the oil that we use in this country comes from overseas, comes from Venezuela and Saudi Arabia and so on. Not that we have any shortage. It's that our public policy guarantees that we will not develop that which we have. And over time, that public policy has some side effects. And the side effects of our oil policy of the 1920s and 30s are near $700 billion a year trade deficits in our international balance of payments. Now, that's public policy. Now, when we talk about food, land, and population, we Americans have evolved or elected a food policy. In this country, we have adopted the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and every place that communism has been used in the world, it has produced shortages and famines everywhere, without exception. If you know of any place where communism has worked, send me a letter, let me know, would you? Tell me the story, give me some details, so that I can share it with everybody else. But everywhere that this philosophy of abandoning or abolishing private property has been used, to give you another quick example, in the southeastern United States, we produce more timber and timber products there in that region, you know, from Texas over to Georgia and up to Tennessee. More timber and timber products come out of that region of the country than any other region of the country. Even though most of the timber is in the western United States, it's publicly owned. So 90% of the timberlands in the southeastern United States are privately owned and produce more than half of the timber that we use in the United States. And up in the northwest, where the public ownership, that is the communist ownership of our public lands, produces timber, they produce less than half, and they have more than twice as much timber and timberlands as they do in the southeast. But you know, we have a public policy concerning those timberlands in the northwest. And that policy, that public policy, that communist public policy produces less timber and timber products than does the southeastern United States, and they have less than half the land and less than half the timber available. Now, why is that? Why does private property produce more than public ownership? Now, we used to practice in this country in the private property and private ownership. And when the farmland of America was in the hands of small, independent farmers, we had such an abundance, such a surplus in the United States that we developed the farm programs of the 1940s and 50s to deal with the with these incredible surpluses that we had. We didn't know what the hell to do with all this stuff. We don't have those surpluses anymore, boys and girls. In fact, next year or the year after, the year 2006 or 2007, America will become a net food importing nation. And that's why I said famine is coming to America. It's coming to America because of public policy, not because we're short of land, not because we're short of technology or ability. It's our public policy. The public policy that now gives us $3 a gallon gasoline. The public policy that makes America a net importer of forest products. And a public policy that is going to make America a net importer of food is going to produce famine in America in the same way that we have famine in oil and famine in timber products. Now listen to this. Highlights of food land population in the U.S. economy. The following two pages are highlights